I wanted to introduce Mike, who's going to be sharing with us today, and I just want to read a scripture. First Peter reads, "Who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in this last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine." I'd like to say Mike Spinello is a genuine person. What you see and who you meet is what you get. There's no frill, there's no extras, there's no hidden agenda. He is a man who's been tested over and over again, has been challenged in many ways, who's fought the good fight and is on the course and not getting off anytime soon, who represents his Lord often and in great measure, and has influenced so many people at school and in his sphere. Welcome, Mike Spinello.
Tell me you recorded that. Wow. Thank you, Bill. Push this down. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. God, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for just the theme, Lord, that we are already hearing this morning. God, that you are a faithful God, that you are good. Lord, that you give good gifts to your children. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless this time, anoint this time by your Holy Spirit in your name. Amen. Well, I definitely do see a theme in what's been shared. When you're preparing to speak, I'm always trying to hear God's voice. You know, trying to hear, what does God want me to say? It's great. I have an amazing wife who's walking out on me right now. She'll listen later. But, you know, Aaron, I'll come home and she'll say, "Oh, I listened to this podcast today. You got to listen to this podcast. Oh, you got to hear this song. Such an awesome song." And I don't listen to those things enough when she gives them to me. Oh, I'll say, I will. But she had a song that she's been listening to all week. And it is called "Do It Again." And I think they listened to it at the women's Bible study. And she played it for me once or twice. Yeah, it's a good song. But usually, like, by the third time you hear a song, the melody gets you and you get it. You know, that's how it is for me. Sometimes right away, but it's an amazing song. And the theme of that song is God's faithfulness, that God is faithful. And, you know, last night, honestly listened to it about 20 times in a row. And it's the theme of that really God spoke to me. And that is where I heard his voice. You know, it really prompted a lot of what I want to share today. And then you work and you pray and you write the sermon, and then you come in and, like, every one of Pat's songs were about God's faithfulness. Faithful you are. You know, so you just get this validation. So I've really just set myself up saying that this is the word of God, so it better be good. Because I could totally miss. So I wanted to read from Deuteronomy 7:9, and it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments." The faithful God, that he is faithful. When we are not, he is. When we are not faithful, he is faithful. And just to meditate on that and think about that our God is faithful. And it's very easy for us. In our world, there's a lot of unfaithfulness. There's a lot of things that we trust in that are not faithful. They don't They're not faithful back to us. You know, they're not faithful to us that we trust in. And I wanted to read from Matthew 7, 24 through 27. And it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So in both instances, the rain fell. The storm comes. The storm's going to come in our lives. We're going to go through difficult times, but what are we standing on? And again, the faithfulness of God is that rock. So what are some things that we can very easily for us to put our faith in? The sand. What are those things that are sand? I think riches, putting our faith in our financial situation. And there's nothing wrong with wealth. God, Bible says that God gives man the ability to create wealth, and that is a good thing. But it's when we are sleeping well at night because our barns are full. That's the difference. When we're trusting in that, that is our rock. Proverbs 23 says, "Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies toward the heavens." So it's our riches, it's not faithful. It changes. It flies away. Wealth certainly makes itself wings. I'm a teacher. You know, that's my 24th year teaching. And we get paid once a month. Okay, I get paid once a month. It's the last day of the year, last business day of the year, last business day of the month, and I have an automatic deposit. So at the end of the month, I wake up, and it's there. And I'm going to tell you something. That is a happy, if you want to catch me on a good day, talk to me this, like, Halloween, like, this Wednesday. I mean, I'm going to be happy, you know, it's fun, it's Halloween, and all that by itself, but I just got paid. Now, this is October 28th. This is not a good day. I'm like, these are not, don't hang out with me the last week of the month. I'm a little short, a little snappy. Because it's fleeting, you know, our riches are fleeting. But God is faithful, and I'm going to talk later to his faithful to provide for us. We can trust in our careers, our whatever that career is, your job and your calling, and I think it's all good. These are good things. None of these things are bad by themselves, but it's when they replace God, when that's what we're standing on. That's what we're building our foundation on, building our house on. That's when we get into trouble. So our careers, that's the most important thing. And then something could happen with our jobs, and we realize how much faith we put in our careers and how unfaithful that is to us. As a teacher, you know, we just hired or had a new teacher come into our school and came in all through the summer and got her room all ready, all set, and 3 days before school, found out that we were four kids short as a public school. We were four kids short of needing one extra teacher. And the principal gave us a choice. Someone can volunteer to go now and you'll have some choices of where you're gonna go, or you'll wait and then you're gonna get stuck somewhere that you might not want. So now you have choice. So that teacher, after months of getting her classroom prepared, gone. Still has a job, but you know, her world was rocked a little bit. You know, again, she's at a good school right now, but it definitely was a difficult, difficult time. So our careers are not faithful to us. Our relationships with others are not faithful. We need our community. It's so important, but that can't be the end-all, be-all. God has to be more important than that. He is why we're here. The community, and this is an amazing community. I love this community. I love Susa's talk up here, and that's, we're seeing God's community and prayer and people helping each other. It's so important. But I think it works here because we're all, I'm hoping, that God is more important. We're here for him. I love the analogy of pianos, out-of-tune pianos. A room full of out-of-tune pianos all tuning to each other is a train wreck. It's a mess. It's not going to sound good. But if we have that tuning fork, and we're all tuned to that tuning fork, we can get in tune. And when we're all looking to God, so we're not trusting in this community as our rock, but it's the God who we love and worship here together. Our health, we trust in our health and working out and doing things to keep our youth. We just went to Ohio, a few of the guys at church a couple weeks ago, and we all went out to dinner. And the waitress, you know, we were all at this table, and we said, hey, can you get a picture of us? You know, we're all here in Ohio, and, you know, she gets this great shot. And then I try to be funny, and I say, oh, let's do a boomerang now. Let's do a boomerang video right now, which is like an Instagram thing. Like, if you move, like, you do all this kind of stuff. Yeah, I know. Well, apparently, the waitress was, she goes, you know what boomerang is? To me. And I said, yeah, I know what boomerang is. I have Instagram. And then, of course, Matt chimes in, goes, how old do you think he is? There he is. And she looks at me and she goes, I don't know, 50? I said, 50? I was appalled. And I took it out in her tip. I know, I've never heard 50. But, you know, holding on to that youth, I love it when people undershoot, whatever that would be, where they go low. Because then, Matt, then the thing was, let's go around the table now. How old is he? How old is he? How old is he? And now she felt bad, so she's going low for everybody. 30, 38, 41. And I'm just like, what? So, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:24 and 25, it says, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off. It is fleeting. Our youth hanging on to it. You watch so many reality shows. You know, you watch these housewife shows. You watch them. We don't. Or do we? But you see it. You see these ladies who are just trying so hard, and you see the plastic surgery to the point where it's unnatural, and they're just holding on to that youth, and it's disappearing, you know, right before. So our health, our youth is unfaithful to us. It is sand. We do not build our house on that. We build our house on the rock, who is Jesus, who is God. He is faithful. He is unchanging. He never changes. He is always with us. So I wanted to read from Psalm 119, 89 through 90. It says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. You establish the earth, and it stands. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. And then into the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We serve a faithful God. He is the rock. Faithful for so many things. And I just want to highlight a couple of points of things that he's faithful in. the most important, and I wrote that we could, this is really like, we could just stop here. But he is faithful to forgive us. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. His mercies are new every morning. There's never going to come a time where God's going to say, that's it, I've had it with him. We did it one too many times. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Matthew 18, Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7. Which means if he is repenting and he's asking for forgiveness every time, God's mercies are new every morning. There's never going to come that time where he says, that's it. I've had it. You're done. That's all. He is faithful with us to forgive us if we are in Christ. I'm a teacher. I'm trying this new thing in my classroom called flexible seating. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but it's getting them out of desks and on the floor and into like a, you get like a, these little like medicine balls so they can kind of bounce a little bit and get little tables low to the ground, and there are little rugs and all these little stools, and all, it's just flexible seating. You kind of give kids freedom to choose where they want to sit, you know, and I mean, to a point, you know, I overrule you if I need to. So it's going well, but I will say this, when kids are, if your classroom kind of looks like Starbucks with all these different seating arrangements and things, the result of that is a lot of talking, because they're not sitting in a desk, they're facing each other, and you know, there's a lot of chattiness, and I find myself going home a little angrier than I usually have, and because I've always been a row guy, rows facing forward, boy, girl, right here. Don't talk. This is a flip of my whole, I don't do it like this, so it's a learning curve for me as well. And it's easy to get angry, you know? And I have said, that's it, we're going back to rows. You guys, I hear talking, you know what I hear? I hear, Mr. Smell, we want to go back to rows. That's a quote. they get all quiet. And I've, you know, God does have righteous anger, but he's not going to leave us. It's not going to get to that point where he's done with us. He is faithful. Romans 5, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. We are forgiven because of what Christ did. Now, the natural reaction to that would be, oh, then we could just keep sinning and it doesn't matter. And you know, Paul in Romans 5 says, no, of course not. It's not what this is. If you know him, you love him, you're walking with him, you're going to want to please him, and he's working in us. So it's not a license to sin, but if we are faithful and just, or if we are faithful, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Communion today is what that's all about what he did. That because of what Jesus did on the cross, we can have forgiveness of sins, only because of what he did. And I said, if God withheld every other blessing except this one of being faithful to forgive, we have enough to praise him for all eternity. If he stopped there and withheld every other blessing from us, we can praise him and thank him forever for what he has done. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on and is faithful in so many areas. He is faithful to provide for us. Philippians 4:19-20. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He is faithful to do that. He provides our daily bread. You know, it's easy for us, it's easy for me you know, to go, okay, I'm good now, but what's going to happen next summer? You know, wanting to have that all taken care of and just to trust. He promises daily bread, bread for right now, our daily bread, but it's easy to go into the future. And he is faithful and he provides. And he's going to provide for me again in 63 hours and 28 minutes. you know, as a testimony for us, you know, our lives changed 8 years ago with everything with Cade, and our whole lifestyle changed, and our needs changed and everything. And I want to say, just to testify of God's faithfulness and to provide. You know, Erin is able to be home and to take Cade to his therapies, and she's not, I mean, I couldn't imagine having anyone else do this, you know, because she's encouraging him on the way. She's giving him pep talks on the way and teaching, and I mean, that is God's provision, that she's been able to do that, you know. And honestly, we have never held a fundraiser for Cade. There have been multiple fundraisers for Cade, but we have never said, hey, let's do a fundraiser, because people have just been faithful, and God has been faithful and provided people in this room, you know, that God has spoken to, and God has just been faithful and has provided so much. So we are so thankful for that. We are a testimony to that. That on paper, there's no way she should be home. You know, it doesn't work on paper. But I think I just spoke for a lot of us in this room. It doesn't work on paper. But it does. You know, just where are you? Are you okay right now? I'm more than okay right now. Yeah, but next summer. You know, are you okay today, right now? Yes. That's his promise. But we got to live in that present. He is faithful to provide. He is faithful to protect. 1 Peter 5, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That's a scary verse. But resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. In James, we have the authority in Christ to cast out demons. They will run. What does that mean, you know, in Jesus' name, we have the authority? And in teaching again, you know, the example of it is, if kids will say they're working in groups, and I always use Billy. Billy won't give Susie back her scissors. Billy, give me my scissors. Billy, give me my scissors. He won't do it because he's Billy, and he's not going to do it. He's going to keep those scissors, my scissors, just being Billy. I'm on the other side of the room. Susie comes over to me and says, Mr. Spinella, Billy won't give you my scissors. And I say, you tell Billy that I said, give him your scissors. Okay. She goes back. Billy, Mr. Spinella said, give me my scissors. Oh, here you go. Because now there's authority behind her. So the verse that we can put demons to flight in the name of Jesus, that's authority. It isn't me. It's the name I just used. Oh, you know him? Oh, that's a different thing. And he runs. That's how he flees from us. Not me, all because of what Jesus did, the authority. So God is faithful to protect us. And he is faithful in our pain, with whatever it is that we are going through in our lives. There are so many testimonies in this room of his faithfulness, of difficult times in lives and things that he's done, and times where we were scared and didn't know what was going to happen. You know, some of us are in that place right now, you know, but that he is faithful in those times. We can't use God as a means to an end, that we go to him for certain things, and the things could be very good things. I go to him for peace. I go to him, you know, for my, it's real important in my family. You know, I go to him for his stuff, the things he promises us. And those promises are good and he is faithful. However, when the storm comes, it can be very easy to say, oh, I tried that God thing and it didn't work. Because look, I'm no better off than I was, because we're going to him for as a means to an end. to make our life better, to fix certain things, and sometimes he doesn't. And he's doing something else that we thought that we didn't know what he was going to do. But he's faithful in that too. So if there's nothing else but God, would he be enough? Would he be enough? Just going to him for his sake, to know him, for his presence, to walk with him, to know him. And then the other things come, but it surprises us. You know, it's surprise. Oh, wow, like look what God did, and we're walking with him. And then when he's quiet and when he's hidden and hard to find, we stay the course. We stay the course walking with him because we trust him. He's been faithful so many times, and that he's not leaving us, because the rain does fall. The storm will come in all of our lives, and we don't just bail. And that's when you know, when the storm comes and you get, you know, shaken up a little bit, you see what's inside and what comes out and what we have been trusting in. Those are good things. Wow, I thought I was walking in a good place, but I got a little shaken up this week, and look what came out. You know, it revealed some things to us. You know, and that's a good place to be. Lord, change me. I don't want to bail like that. I don't want to put my faith in these other things. So that's an honest prayer. In John 16, 32, behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. That is not a popular verse. In the world you will have tribulation. We will have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. When I look back in my life, he is faithful. He has never failed me. I love the picture of Joseph. It's one of my favorite Bible stories in the Old Testament, in Genesis. And I want to take it from the end, where Joseph, after starting as a shepherd and all these things that have happened to him, he is standing as the number two guy in all of Egypt. He has all this power. The only one more powerful than him is Pharaoh. And he has all this power. He has saved Egypt, thousands of people, by his dreams, that he has being able to interpret the dreams of Pharaoh and know that the famine was coming. He brought them all in. He saved his family, the very family who sold him into slavery decades before. And here he is, all this power. There's his family, the wealth that he has, the power that he has. And I think when he's standing up there, like, what is going through his mind? Like, so many thoughts. I think one thought might be, how did I get here? Just for a second, like, how did I get here? Look where I am. Look where I was. And look at the dungeon, the prison. And look where I am now, after being falsely accused and sent to prison for over a decade, and not hearing God's voice, and being sold into slavery from his brothers, and this difficult life where it could have been very easy to shake your fist at God and bail. It wasn't a good thing. It was difficult times. But yet, God was faithful. And as he looks back, he sees God's hand working in all of this, in all of this. How did he get here? That God was with him throughout the whole process. God was with him. And, you know, I will say, in our own story, and talking about the faithfulness of God, how could I not talk about Cade and what God has done? A couple of weeks ago, Cade had the opportunity to share his story at the Shea Center in San Juan Capistrano. And just to tell his story and the role that the writing has played, and it was in front of 1,500 people. Peter, do we have a picture of him? Nope, the other one. Yeah, that's the crowd. So what's going through my mind right there? There's so many things. I mean, one is, you know, how proud I am of him. The other is, this iPad's getting very heavy holding it down. You know, Cade's just sharing his story that he owns. He owns his story. Mom is so proud. And Lucy, I think she's saying, Another speech for Cade. But you know what else went through my mind that moment right there? How did we get here? How did we get here in front of 1,500 people and from where we came 8 years ago and so many dark times? Do you have that other one, Peter, that I sent? I mean, this one's a little disturbing, but that was where he was 7+ years ago. He had lost his speech. He could not move his right side. He couldn't talk. And, you know, this time, I mean, you see the smiles on the therapist and on Aaron, and because we were, you know, felt God's presence and his protection and his goodness. But, you know, these were difficult times. But then you go there to where we just were. How did we get here? Look what God has done in these 8 years. So I don't know where you are. You might be here right now. You might be in this place. You might be in the prison where Joseph was, where it wasn't good. But God is faithful. God is working. And he's going to do something. And you will get to that place of, man, how did I get here? Look what God has done. Look what God did through all those difficult times. But yet his faithfulness brings us through. And I'm just going to end it with John 10:27. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." He is faithful. He is always with us, no matter where we are. And he is a good God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you that you provide. Lord, that you forgive. Lord, as we come to the table here, Lord, that we remember what you did, paid the price for that forgiveness. And Lord, help us just to step back and see what you see, to see the things through your eyes, and to know that wherever we are, you may not be done yet, that you're writing a story, that you are faithful in the dungeons, you are faithful in the dark times, and that you are working things out for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.